The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my brother and me, your home for the best in fantasy football recommendations, strategy, and buds.
Now, Justin, correct me if I'm wrong, because I know very little about fantasy football, but would you say that the best choice for a quarterback would be a football unicorn?
What does that even mean, Travis?
Like a unicorn that's been like genetically engineered to be good at football.
Why? Okay, there are so many problems. I don't even understand.
Well, because it's it's fantasy football. That's the good figure. Because it's fantasy football.
Ah, fuck.
Oh, so fantasy. Okay. There's fantasy creatures. You're saying, could you have Bahamut as your tight end?
Yeah.
As your for example.
Yeah, that could probably would have been a better opening goof.
Would it be difficult to balance the sport should Ragnarok be your kicker?
That's possible, yes. I think that balance is always going to be your big problem with any fantasy league.
Yeah, it's true.
Do you separate the men from the boys, from the dragons, from the chimera?
But really, that is sort of the core tenet of the draft, isn't it? I mean, that's why the draft exists. It's so you can't even big spenders. Like the Middle Earth Myrmidons, they can't just buy up all the good players. You know, you got to take turns to pick them like you do in a draft.
Somebody's trying to outflank you by picking, let's say, a Griffin.
Yeah,
you maybe have to sneak in there and get Maurice Jones-Drew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the tricky part. Maurice Jones-Drew, by the way, is a ghost. We all know that.
Which
is why he can play in both leagues. He's the daywalker of football.
He is the daywalker. He is half ghost and half person. Mm-hmm. Guys, tell me about your fantasy football teams this year. I actually have one in the Sweet Release Fantasy Football League. My team is called Touchdown Abbey.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
It's pretty good.
Mine is. Can you somehow share the logo? Because it's the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I don't know. I'll try to remember to put it in the forums.
It's Maggie Smith being it is the Dowager Countess being doused with Gatorade, like you do. You know how sometimes when you win a football game, they douse you with Gatorade, to say good work, have this refreshment. It's basically
please
that.
Please enjoy this refreshment.
But with Maggie Smith, my team is called the Mario Lopez Dispenser.
Do you think that that's a very good team name? Do you think that there's ever one guy who just finished a big ball game and maybe he has been running a lot and he's going to go get some Gatorade, and just as he's about to get some, he's like, wait.
Justin, I'm not gonna lie to you. That happens once a game, I feel like. I feel like every game there's that one guy who's like, oh shit, what time is it? How much time is left on the clock? Do I have enough time to get in a... man.
And then you gotta wring out the coach's jacket.
Yeah, and you have to go over to the other team who lost and be like, hey, I don't mean to rub it in. Real thirsty. Can I have some of that Gate?
Oh, you got Powerade? Oh, never mind.
Oh man, I'm switching teams. You guys got High Sierra? You got Ecto Coolers?
Oh shit!
Oh fuck! You guys just hand out Capri Suns?
You got the Lemon Twinkies? I'm switching teams.
And as that you know, sucks. I do not have a fantasy football team name because I tested positive in the random drug testing.
Yeah. Now I have to ask Travis. I have to ask why you thought juicing.
Uh-huh.
Here's where I'm confused. You're not actually the one playing the sport. It's very low contact activity drafting.
Well, I'll tell you what you are playing, Griffin.
Okay.
Mind games.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
To take brain steroids.
Okay. This podcast is basically brain steroids because it makes you so much smarter when you hear it.
I tested positive for my brother and me. I'm so ashamed. I've been stripped of all my titles.
Are you? He's on the bro. Did you hear? Bamming? He's on the bro.
This guy's bamming over here. Call the commish.
Call the commish. This guy's bamming. He's too good at life. The life commish will shut you down if you're bamming, and they discover it. So keep it secret. Keep it safe. But do tell a friend. On this show, we take advice, and we give it to you.
Okay.
We take That's advice, a twist. We bury it in the ground for 3 years.
And it sprouts. Mm-hmm. We let the interest accrue on the advice in the smart bank.
Well, we put it in our brain wombs for 9 months, and then it gestates, and then it comes out of our mouths. Ew!
Grody.
And then it consumes us, and thus continuing the cycle.
Here's our first question. Brothers, I desperately need your help. For the past 8 years, I have been heavily addicted to Diet Mountain Dew. I drink 3 liters a day.
Minimum. Whoa!
Obviously, this is not a good thing. I've tried to quit in the past using other types of caffeine intake as a replacement, but I keep going back to that sweet, sweet Dew. I can't drink coffee, and other similar drinks taste gross to me. Any suggestions before my bones melt? That's from overdoing the Dew.
Here's the problem, and you know what the problem is. You are saying, this thing's killing me slowly, but God damn it, I love it. Like, I think you may be... I think you may be say, young...
If you love it so much, just drink it. Yeah. Do you really want to live a life without the Dew?
Listen, if it were bad for you, they wouldn't sell it, you guys.
Okay. God, such a good point, Trav.
I know. There's regulations for that.
We have a little thing called the FDA.
Yep.
And if things are dangerous for you, they can't sell them.
The Federal Dew Association.
Yeah. Which is, they're the ones that fucking took down my live wire. Thanks, thanks, FDA. You're the fucking worst. Thanks, FDA. How am I supposed to get jized and play Halo?
They're also the ones that shut down Josta.
Yeah. Well, that one was totally,
that was a good call. There was too much.
That was for the good of mankind. Mm-hmm.
There was too much guarana.
I vibrated so hard that I actually went through the mantle of the earth while drinking Josta.
I actually don't. Whenever I make references to old energy drinks, I never know like what the threshold is for people.
Yeah.
Like if I say Josta, are people going to be down with that? If I talk about Surge. Yeah. Are people going to be down with that? Man, Surge was so good.
Surge
but
is
the
so
question
great.
Is, like, now, if you compare that to, like, a Red Bull or, like, a Monster Energy drink, would it
oh my
be
God.
Like drinking water? Would
it's
it
like,
be,
like grandpa
nothing?
Tea. It's like nothing. It's nothing. Yeah. I drank a Red Bull the other day, and 3 of my teeth melted in my mouth. Just melted right there in it. Never happened when I drank Surge. I only lost one tooth.
I think it, I mean, it's much like any addiction, right? Stop buying it. If you don't want to, no one has ever thrust a Diet Mountain Dew in my hand and be like, hey bro, swish it down. And I've been like, yes.
All right, you guys.
Can I get a no? Can I get a no urine guarantee? Nope. Okay. Well, I'm not drinking this thing. Just don't buy it.
And my advice to you is just to quit cold turkey, because if you allow yourself, you know, the occasional treat, you'll never stop. Like, because it'll just get you in the end, you know? I've known so many people, friends of ours, that have, like, smoked since they were, like, 15, and then they quit for, like, 10 years, and then one night out at a party, they're like, well, I haven't had a cigarette in 10 years. I've earned it, and they have one, and pretty soon they're, like, 2-pack-a-day smoker again. Sure. So Mountain Dew's pretty much the same thing.
But it's easier to quit Mountain Dew because, I mean, if you're a smoker, you probably associate with other people who are smoking. It's the easiest thing in the world to say, hey, Dylan, you know, peel me off one of those coffin nails and let me get down the flavor highway. It's a very another thing to be like, ooh man, that Dew looks refreshing.
I'm gonna drink fucking 3 of those today.
why don't you just pass me that Dew, and you can have, and I don't know what you'll do about it, but I would just like to drink your Dew, please. You can't bum a Dew. You've got to buy one.
Can I just get like a bottle cap of Dew? I just want the flavor. Need to taste it.
If you're going out to a bar and you know you're going to party all night, you don't go out and buy a pack of Mountain Dew in advance so that you can enjoy it all night long. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. Let me hit you with this. Maybe you replace your Diet Mountain Dew with Mountain Dew. Would that help? Would that help you at all?
And you drink more of it. You know what? I say go for the record. I don't know what the record is on drinking Mountain Dew in one day, but I feel like you've been training for it for 8 years, and it's time to just go for it.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's
wait,
it. Fucking
that's
make
it.
Your kids smoke. Like, go for it. Smoke the whole pack. Drink all the Mountain Dew. Bring yourself out in one day, or maybe go into a diabetic coma. But
no, it's Diet Mountain Dew. He's going to be fine.
Either way, you're going to stop drinking Mountain Dew, because you'll either be sick of it or dead.
or dead. You'll just be vibrating with whatever chemicals they put into it to get that flavor. You know what? I have a great suggestion. There's a flavored vodka called Mountain Dude, D-O-O-D, that you can get that is meant to taste like Mountain Dew. So maybe try that.
Why are you giving out? Why are we?
Maybe switch that in.
And then drink like 3 liters of that a day.
Mm-hmm. Drink like 3 liters of Mountain Dew flavored vodka.
Maybe toss in some Boone's Farm into the mix. Maybe you're really gonna love the way that treats you. 3 liters of that a day, and you'll be right as rain, acid rain. You're gonna die.
You could do what our friend Jason did and just wrestle a 2 liter of Mountain Dew to the ground and chug it, and then throw up all over the place.
Yeah, that happened once. Did? I mean, is it that bad?
Drink a lot of caffeine. It's
Justin,
super bad.
3 liters of anything a day is bad.
Water?
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll get water poisoning.
I don't think you guys know how much liters are.
Here's what's crazy.
Three liters is two liter bottles of something in a day.
You're like, going
to
lose.
That is from waking up in the morning to going to bed at night, all you're doing is drinking Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
100 ounces of water. That is only a few ounces over the daily recommended amount of water.
Yeah, why do you think they recommend less than that?
For God's sake.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a limit. Like, if you drink over this much water, you're going to be poisoned.
There is in the wasteland.
You guys are crazy. I just don't think it's that bad.
Maybe cut back?
Here's the problem. You got to roll it back slow, because you're going to lose a lot of bladder mass if you go from 3 liters of Mountain Dew a day to 0 liters of Mountain Dew a day. Your bladder is going to look like a floppy, it's going to look like an elephant's ear in there. And you don't want, like, you need to upkeep that. I think you roll it back to maybe 2.5 and then 2.25 and then you slowly back. You, do you see what I mean?
And don't be concerned when your pee is no longer electric green. Mm-hmm. That's normal.
It's not going to be as fun, but.
I want to just dip in here real quick and say that according to the Mayo Clinic, an adequate intake of water for men is 3 liters a day. So
Justin, there's no place here for your science. Yeah.
So that is the thing. I say swap out 1 liter for water and just see how it treats you. If you can get up to where nobody's drinking enough water, that's a fact. Nobody does. If you drank all that Mountain Dew but with water, oh man, you're gonna feel good. You're gonna have the advantage over everybody.
Can I talk about real quick, right now? I'm drinking tea, and I am not a tea drinker. I'm drinking Wild Berry Zinger from Celestial Seasonings. Mm-hmm. Mostly because all of the past 6 words that I said just then were like among my favorite words ever. But I'm drinking it right now because I'm so hungover, and literally no other substance sounds good to put in my body.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's a very personal story, Griffin. Thank you for sharing.
Personal and unentertaining
story. Listen, no, listen. You don't understand what I'm saying to this gentleman.
Clearly.
He should get super drunk, and then he'll never drink.
And you'll never want to drink anything ever again except shitty Celestial Seasonings tea.
You know what I like? I'm into that chai tea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I like. This question is boring, and the answers are even more boring. Just stop drinking Mountain Dew. Just stop it. Look at me. Look in my eyes. Look in your podcast eyes.
Do you mind? We can shame you.
Just stop it. No. You want to have a real addiction? Ray Charles quit heroin and smoking simultaneously. That's an addiction. Mm-hmm. You don't have an addiction. You have habits. Stop drinking it. Start doing heroin.
Listening to Ray Charles. You should be doing that anyways.
Get that do off your back and get a monkey on your back. Get yourself a proper addiction like a grown up.
Get a monkey and train him to slap the Mountain Dew out of your hand.
Mm, oh my God. That's a good suggestion. Griffin, can you give me a Yahoo?
I can do that.
I'm disgusted.
Yeah, sure.
Myself.
This Yahoo answer was sent in by Jacob Locker. Thank you, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user The Christ Puncher.
Jacob!
The Christ Puncher, who asks...
Okay. We've had questions from The Christ Puncher before.
Probably. How can I make horse not bited the cow? 3 days ago, horse named Derek bited the cow my dad have. Three days ago, horse named Derek bited the cow my dad have. Then the cow not tell nobody. Have big problems. Infection. The cow died. Bad horse make to the cow died when he are bited him. How make horse stop biting things?
You know, there's it's such a common problem. Listen, cows, tell somebody.
Yeah.
When see this happens, you're the victim.
See something, say yeah. something.
Yeah. No one's going to turn you into ground beef. They're going to believe you.
You got bited.
Well, nobody wants to eat ground beef if it has big problems vis-a-vis infection.
FYI, when someone says they got bited, I assume that they got played a prank on by Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't think that is a colloquialism.
Have you seen the latest season? I think it is.
You got bited.
Have you seen the latest season of Bited? He's back. He's back and he's better than ever. I saw him pull a fast one on Nick Cannon.
Mm-hmm. And Nick Cannon was like, what? He was like, bited.
Yeah. And just before he does the prank, he says, I'm just biding my time.
Yeah, he did say that.
It's mostly the show's weird. It's funny. He Biden puns.
He says right. biding my time and not Biden. So it's like mm-hmm. almost a pun. It's weird.
He's like chewing a clock. It's like the fucking strangest thing.
Yeah.
It's a really good show.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. It's a pretty good show. It's produced by the same guy that said that Who's Your Daddy, where mm-hmm. the girls try to figure out who their fathers are. So it's got a good pedigree.
Ugh. So
don't let your horse near your cow.
Yeah. Here's a
yeah. If you
cow,
can just run away, fucking keep fence. Separated.
Yeah.
Why do you have them in the same house? Cows live in houses.
Oh yeah, cow houses, cowses.
Travis,
what?
Go away.
We can't reduce ourselves to portmanteau. Once we've retreated to the bastion of comedy via neologism, then I think we're pretty much sunk.
Okay.
I
am chastised.
Well, you're travtized because
Can we put a ball and gag in this horse?
A hey, man in the Iron Mask style mm-hmm. horse mask.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
Do you feel like this hasn't been very funny so far?
What, this question or this episode?
No, the episode.
Yeah, no, I feel like we're nailing it.
Have you, what do you, Griffin, what do you think has been like the funniest part?
We talked about like fantasy football and we all sort of brought out all of the Final Fantasy summons that we knew.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably the highlight for me.
That was pretty good.
Justin, what's your favorite part so far?
What I wanted to do was remind people that there were some good things in there, because I feel like they might start to get weighed down with how we haven't said too many funny things.
No, there probably are those people that they hold up the stopwatch, and they time it out every time they giggle. They reset it, mm-hmm. to see if it will
how many giggles per minute.
Yeah, if it hits that 10 minute mark, maybe you go turn it off. Maybe you go listen to the new WTF. Like that's. I'm sure that's a thing that people are doing. And that's, you know what? That's fine. I like the challenge.
But I think there's probably an even larger number of people that simply haven't turned it off because both of their hands have the vacuum in it. So they figure, well,
that's true.
I'm sure it's going to turn
it off. Now, let me just ask real quick, what kind of broadsword vacuum are these people using that they need two hands to wield its mighty power?
The Dust Slayer.
Yeah.
They're using the Dyson.
Oh, I see.
It's one hand to sweep and the other hand to jerk off.
I was going to say jerk off.
I was going to say jerk off too. So we can all agree that there are people out there listening to our show jerking off and then vacuuming up their jizz. This is the thing that's happening.
They call it vacking it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They call it not vacking off. Thanks, Travis.
Okay. Thanks.
What?
Thanks.
You guys.
How about another question? How about another Yahoo? That one was.
Yeah, let's. That one wasn't good. Let's try a different one.
This one was, I found, it's by the Christ Puncher, who asks, should NFL teams have to reserve a roster spot for a horse? I think it is the least the NFL could do to honor the horse and, quite frankly, America. After all, they sing that song before each game. Why not have a horse on each team? Does the NFL hate America or something?
Wow. Why is Christ Puncher so obsessed with horses?
Why aren't you?
Why are we?
Fair enough.
More accurately, we love them.
How
wasn't there a movie in which like a horse was like the kicker for a team or something? Am I making that up?
It was a donkey named Gus.
How do you know that?
Because I love the work of the fucking who's that son of a bitch from Andy Griffith?
Don't help him.
I'm not gonna tell you.
Not Don Adams, but the guy whose name is like Don Adams.
Don Cheadle. Mm-hmm.
Don McLean.
No, he's got like a rubber face.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
Andy? Don Draper.
No, not Don Draper.
I think it's Don Draper.
No, it's not Don Adams.
But Randy Griffith. Like Randy Griffith?
Donald Glover.
Is it Randy? Barney? Randy Griffith.
He played Barney Fife.
Yes. Tandy Griffith.
No, it's not Tandy Griffith. He played Barney Fife. Who played Barney Fife?
Barney Griffith.
Randy.
I'm not going to.
Randy Candy Griffith.
Sydney. Sydney's here. Who played Barney Fife?
If I was a real quick aside while Barney Justin is Fife, talking, getting a Fife. Phoning a friend, I'm just saying that if I was a male stripper, my name would be Randy Candy Griffith.
Don Knotts, you motherfucking assholes. Sorry, you just got faced by my memory.
You got bited.
Just got bited because I remembered is Don Knotts.
We got running backs, we got quarterbacks, halfbacks, fullbacks, wide receivers, tight ends,
barebacks,
safeties. Thank you. That's the name. There you go. And then you can probably swap out one of the running backs with a bareback. Here's the question: can the other running back mount the horse and ride it into the end zone? Because that horse has no other means to carry the ball. You know.
Yes, but the trick is it also works in the reverse. The horse can jump on his back.
My problem with football is there's no strategy. Mm-hmm. So I think that this will finally introduce a layer of strategy where. You know, do I get on the horse now? Is this the right moment? Is he going to buck me off? Is this the right horse?
Is this the right horse for me? Will this horse and I
find... Do I need to shop around? Should I check out other horses first? Is it too early to make a commitment?
Will we have a bond? Will somebody else in this team, do they have the potential to maybe have a stronger bond with this horse?
Is this even right for me?
Am I horse blocking someone?
Yeah. You got to be careful.
Is this even right for me to dominate one of God's creatures like this for transportation?
Right.
What will PETA think?
How many horsepowers is this horse? The answer is always one.
Does it have?
I don't think that's true. I don't think every horse is created equal. I know that that's a major blaspheme to drop on this, which is basically an equestrian podcast at this point.
At this point, it's basically an equestrian podcast, yes.
I think some are maybe half a horsepower. Maybe their
hearts. Can you imagine if you were a horse and you were less than one horsepower?
Yeah.
That's got to be like the most embarrassing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, this cart is just one horsepower to pull, so it shouldn't be any problem. But you know
you got this. You're
going to side your 7/8 horse.
I bet you.
I'm going to need help.
I bet you Seabiscuits was like 10 horsepower.
Well, he had a heart the size of 10 horse hearts.
Right. He actually had 10 horse hearts.
That's why it was bulging out in the front.
It was grotesque.
Why is that horse so lumpy?
It was like the final scene in Akira. Terrible. He was just coming out of his
nightmare.
Yeah, it was nightmare.
It was terrible. It was like a video game boss, just hearts pulsating out of his stomach.
Mm. And when he died, all of his hearts exploded at once and turned him inside out.
Yeah.
Oh God.
It was horrible.
And hey, delicious.
You guys
and
ever delicious. Seen that movie The Cell when the horse gets the glass stuff drops on it and cuts it into like 20 pieces?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's like a real bad way for a horse to go out that happened in a movie.
Yeah, I don't think that's ever really happened before.
The best way for a horse to die is to die peacefully in its bed at the ripe old age of 36, smoking a pipe, surrounded by all its great grand horses.
and he's had the last rites delivered to him by a horse preacher.
What's the option for defensive horses? Because it doesn't seem like – it seems like you're going to get a lot of roughing the passer there. Because you can't just tell a horse like, hey, he's already passed the ball. Don't go after him. I think that
– no kicking.
I think – or trampling is more what I'm concerned about. That's more of a horse's forte.
Man, God help you if you drink the Gatorade before the horse gets there. They will be livid. You have to just unscrew the top and let him get in there because he will get dehydrated. Guys,
we
fucked up.
We dumped the oats on the coach. Everybody look out.
These are my victory oats, and you dumped them on the coach. I was going to eat them afterwards.
He's got oat fever. Get out of the way.
Alternate rule set. Instead of having one spot reserved for the horse, I think that you don't have a special horse spot, but you do have the option to switch out as many of your human players for horse players as you see fit, which would be fun for, like, if you're the Denver Broncos, you could go with a very, very literal rendition of that name. And maybe you have an all-horse team versus an all-human team, and we finally fucking square that
settle
out.
This.
You know,
guys, here's the thing, though. This has already been prepared for.
Oh, yeah?
The fucking Budweiser Clydesdales.
Oh,
shit. You're right. They've been out there playing ball for ages.
They're like the Jackie Robinson of horses and football.
And what's that? Who's officiating the game? It's a zebra. Because he... Oh, man.
Can you
man.
Believe they still won't allow horses in the Hall of Fame?
I know.
Yeah, it's just because they're not people and they won't show up to the ceremonies and they don't live long enough to go.
And it doesn't mean anything to them to be accoladed. There's a really any number of reasons.
Mm-hmm. When they put their bronze head in, they just have one generic one because who can tell the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a
wow,
horse.
Racist.
I know, right?
Well, and also
they've got to start.
Their records aren't very good. The you know what the longest catch, the longest reception for a horse wide receiver is?
I'm gonna say none.
No yards. Right? It's not. It can't. It's not
no,
been done.
No, you can't. Not. There. Not physically there, possible catch at catching. Can't
there,
catch.
There was Sticky Four Hoof Malone, who played for I believe the Raiders in 1991. I want to say I was in preschool. Yeah, in 91. So anyway, they would coat the horse in tar,
right,
and just sort of throw it real hard and hope that it would right. adhere.
And his defensive strategy, they'd set that tar on fire, mm-hmm. and it was fucking horrible.
Yeah, and also, that was the year of all of the dragging deaths, so...
That was a problem. They originally tried to use peanut butter, but he was literally devoured by the other horses within mm-hmm. minutes.
Yeah.
It simply was not the same effect.
Do you guys ever sometimes think, like, oh, man, I want to live in this world that we've created with our imagination together?
Mm-hmm. There is nothing I find more repellent than the world of our creation. There's no place I would rather.
You don't want to watch a sport where horses just sort of crash into each other like waves against, like so many waves against the rocky shores of the Pacific Northwest.
Of all the things to replace, I'd rather replace some members of Dave Matthews Band with horses. Like that's the kind of, that's where I'd like to see them at. Because you would look and be like, something about this band seems off.
I wonder how long it would take Dave Matthews to notice.
Yeah.
He would literally never notice.
You really killed it, horse violin player. Wait a minute.
If he hasn't noticed how his music sounds right now, I can't imagine he's going
to
notice.
He keeps forgetting to put on real pants. That should be enough.
Yeah. If that horse can play a bassoon, it's not going to be an issue. He doesn't like labels.
I have a question for you guys. I've been thinking of a lot lately. The fact is I'm recently divorced. 29-year-old woman. As I begin to prepare myself for the dating world by focusing on my wonderful traits, I can't help but dread the idea of telling future suitors that I've been married before. My friend told me to refer to him as my first husband, but I'm not sure that's the right approach. How and when do I tell the men out there that I've already walked down the aisle, and that's for hoping for a re-I-do?
I would stay away from the phrase first husband.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that. That sounds like you're a praying mantis.
Because what it sounds like to the person you say it to is, and I'm looking for a second.
Yeah. Or,
yeah.
There's nothing. You can't say my previous husband. Oh, my last shit. Have you
I'm
heard my last shit?
The next.
You could say, like, the scrub I was with before.
Yeah.
That
might be good. You really got to vilify. You really got to vilify your previous suitor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want this guy to ever question, like, who's the better husband or where did I go wrong?
Or just roll up at first day and be like, it was all my fault.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait a minute. What would that help? What would that fix exactly?
Just so I don't know. Lower the expectations.
Okay. Once a guy is into you, I'm not sure that would be enough to, like, dissuade you from.
Now, when you say,
right?
When you say he's into her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't mean fit. I don't.
Maybe you know what I'm talking about.
I'm not clear on what you're talking
put
about.
Putting it right in there.
That may be a good moment to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Hey, I know you're busy trying to cram, but
let me just drop some truth on you right quick. I don't think that it. I really don't think this would be a huge.
No,
huge
it's not.
Deal
it's not
other,
like
right?
1932 anymore. Like, who cares?
Well,
everybody.
This is a good gate for you. That this is a good bar. It's like a built-in bar that all of your future suitors have to clear. Because if they hear you say, "I've been married before," and they're not like mature enough to handle that information, guess mm-hmm. what? When by the time you're like 40, everybody's been married before, basically, and mm-hmm. half of them didn't work out. So
right.
you're not
and first. First marriages never work out.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, sweetie. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, baby. Sorry. I really don't think it'll be But now, when do you? I think you got to go a few dates in before you drop that.
Oh, definitely.
No, I think you lead.
Unless it comes up organically.
I think you lead with it. And I think you can organically do it. Like, hey, Mark. Oh, I mean, Brian. Sorry. Mark was my husband I had once.
No, I mean, like, married? If they ask, like, if they're like, so have you ever been married before? Because as you said, in this day and age, it's not uncommon.
Why would you ask that ever?
Yeah.
If you're just dating somebody, you're not going to mention marriage, period.
But you don't think that, like, prior relationships come up when you're getting to know someone?
Getting to know someone. I'm saying, like, 3 dates and not before.
You do it right before you pork.
Well, see, but this is my question. Like, for reals, can you bring it up in a way that you are not biasing the decision by being like, hey, we need to talk. I have to tell you.
I looked up your records at the library, and I have a sneaking suspicion that you were once legally entangled with a Mark.
No, I'm saying that from this our question asker's point of view, like, how does she bring it up casually without making it a big deal? Because it's not. But I worry that by bringing it up wrong, you could make it a big deal.
If it's your first date after you've been divorced, it's a big deal, dog. Like, it is, and you just gotta just ram right through it and get through it. And if they say, oh, I can't handle that, then they just did you the service of bowing out, of, you know, taking themselves out, because they're not ready for you. They're not ready for your heat.
Another good thing is, when the guy asks you, how long have you been divorced, look at your watch.
Oh, man.
You'll love that.
What day is it?
It's going to be a good gag.
Shit.
Hold on. Is this 7 o'clock a.m. or p.m.? I can't tell because I find it really hard to focus right now. I just got divorced. Guys, girls, let the past go. If you're dating somebody, why does it even cross your mind how they spent the days before your time together?
How is it different from, like, having ex-boyfriends? Now, I know that it is, but I'm just saying, why should it be? You know? Like, you were in a relationship before the relationship ended. Like, everyone has that story.
I would also... But, like, aren't you going to be curious as to why it didn't work? I mean, if you're the guy, you know, dating a girl who got divorced, mm-hmm. How much prying into that is, like, acceptable?
Oh, like, no, I think you totally get to ask, but not for, like... 6 dates.
You think 6 dates before you're allowed to say, like, where did it go wrong?
Yeah. So, like, what happened? And, do you want to talk about
and
it?
And then you think, like, 9 dates, you can start making sort of snide remarks. Like, oh, I bet this is why Mark got in his Jetta went away.
And then, like, 12 dates and you're lonely again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you had a good run, though.
And maybe 15 dates, you get a little drunk on Mountain Dude, and you call both Mark and Brian, and you put them on a 3-way call, and you just give them both a piece of your mind.
And you suggest a 3-way.
And then maybe 51st dates with Adam Sandler.
Brian, tell Mark what you're doing different from what Mark did. Because Mark's always asking, where did he go wrong? And I like Brian better. So, Brian, tell Mark what you're doing that's so much better.
I'm just
going to
cut out the middleman and let you two hash it out so that he can be better than you ever were.
Yeah, fight for my honor. Will you two fist fight each other? I used to be married. Oh, yeah, what happened? Well, I'm going to trick you into killing my husband. So, I mean... my tense is optimistic. Let's put it that way. I used to have a husband, and if you want to get lucky tonight, I'm going to need you to go to his house and burn it down or something. Just make it look like an accident. I really want this to work between us. Are you a Sagittarius?
Mm.
You seem like a Sagittarius.
This is great. This is great bisque. Thanks for taking me to Fazoli's. Have you guys had Fazoli's new bisque?
Yeah, the ravioli bisque.
So great. Right. You just dip that stupid, wet, stinky-ass bread up in it, and then you soak it, you wring it out like a squeegee right in your mouth.
And then you propose murder.
And yeah.
And then you just say you want, if something were to happen to Brian, mm-hmm. wouldn't be completely unaroused. Just put it that way.
I would not become more flaccid inside, or whatever the female equivalent of flaccidity is.
My vagina is fully erect right now.
Griffin, female arousal is a myth. Let's go to the money zone.
Thank you.
4. Well, Michael Williams. So glad you asked, Griffin. Who's it from? Well, Sarah Bags. She says, happy birthday to my awesome fiance, who's turning the big 3-0 on September 9th. Oops. He is the greatest guy ever. Sorry, I missed it. He's the greatest guy ever, and he loves Mem, which he introduced to me so on my work commute wouldn't suck. So that's from Sarah to Michael, Big Mike, to his friends and coworkers.
Captain Mike.
Captain Mike, they call him. Mike Rofone, they call him Mike sometimes.
Big Willie.
Mike.
Big Willie Mike style. Because his last name is Williams.
Michael Mike, Williams.
Mike the Bike.
Mike the Bike. It's his big day. Hey.
Boss Cock.
Boss Cock Michael Williams.
Hey, I just gave that dude a nickname that he's going to have forever.
So, Michael, you have any nicknames around the office? I have one I don't really like to talk about.
An internet gave it to me.
It is Boss Cock.
Like Boss Hog? I guess. It didn't happen.
I guess that's what they were going with for. It wasn't a good episode.
The internet was a little hungover when he said it. So it probably made sense.
The internet, one third of the internet took some Benadryl before the show because his allergies were flaring up. So he was a little out of it when he said Boss Cock, I think. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you guys love beats?
All the beats.
Rap and beats?
Do you love rap?
Wait, B-E-E-T-S no, or
no, 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 no. Not like no, not like Killer Tofu. No. I mean like rap and beats.
B-E-E-E-E-E-T-S.
Beats?
Yes.
I want to tell you guys about the debut mixtape from our boy, J-Phonic.
Oh, Chrono shit.
Grammaticist, the J-Phonic mixtape. You can get that for free at at jphonicmixtape.com. That's jphonicmixtape.com. You can get it for free. He's an alternative hip-hop artist and friend of the show. It's his debut album, and it's not only ultra dope, but it's also totally, completely free. It's got some nerdy songs, got some West Coast flavor, I think, is in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's
completely sugar-free.
And I've heard J-Phonic on the MIC.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the MICHAELBOSSCOCKWILLIAMS. That's Michael Bosscock Williams you're thinking of. I'm talking about the MIC that you rap into.
Correct.
But when he puts sounds from his mouth into that thing, mm-hmm. and they go through the electronics and come into my ears, I like it. I like what happens.
If you want to experience some Bim Bam related J-Phonic heat, remember he did like two intros for us back in the day. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
He did at least one outro. One, I can't remember the episodes, but he's
go back and listen to all of them and find
it. Yeah, it's I'm not gonna lie, it's gonna take 120 hours, but I think it's worth it. Happy birthday, Jordan.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, J-Phonic.
Oh, are we not allowed to unmask? Did I just, like, unmask just, like, the luchador?
Unmasked him, yeah.
Shit.
Go to jphonicmixtape.com.
You might as well tell everyone that Deadmau5's real name is Francis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. Francis, what are you doing on that stage?
Ma, I'm trying to make some beats.
That's not music. Whatever happened to Rudy Valley?
Ma, go home.
You look like a big old cyborg Mickey Mouse or something up there. What are you doing?
Ma, I told you I'm working.
That ain't a job. Get back to the diner and help your father clean up the hamburger slop.
He's not crazy. Well, and we're all waiting for the drop. Give it to us. Give us that high beat. That stinky drop. Give us that fat, nasty bass. We're all waiting for it. We all got your grandpa's gonna die before you drop that fat bass on us. Your cousin Skrillex would never make us wait this long for a fat nasty drop.
Oh, Jesus.
Francis, my high is peaking. I'm about to come down. I got my hands in the air. I'm ready. Drop it.
Bless.
Oh God. Your father worked all day to synthesize this X. My neon glow bracelets are losing the luminosity, Francis.
Francis, they're closing the JCC at 7 p.m. All these people have to get out. Just drop it. Drop the beat. Stupid. So do you like to stick things in your penis?
How's your boss cock doing?
How's your boss cock doing? Because boy howdy, do I have a site for you. It's extremerestraints.com.
To be fair, it also caters to middle management cocks.
Yeah, whatever kind of equipment you're working with down there, it has got you under control. If you like enema supplies, you want to get everything working out down there, is that part of your play? They've got it for you. Fetish clothing, you want to wrap yourself up in a latex or something? Mm-hmm. You can do that. They got sexy lingerie, too, for the ladies or the men. Who cares? Fucking machines, they've got them. They've got a dick on a big ball.
God bless. They've got everything.
I love how the more we do work with our advertising partners at Extreme Restraints, the more sort of laissez-faire approach to fucking we've begun to adopt. Like, just, yeah. What do you, just put that in? What do you, just do it? I don't give a fuck.
It has reinvented, really, my ideas of the norm. I mm-hmm. literally do not exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You should open yourself up to some new stuff. Why not?
Literally.
Literally open up your orifice and put something new in there.
I'm not joking, you guys. Every time I go to extremerestraints.com, it strikes me a lot. It must be like working.
It strikes you
like
over and over again because that's the only way you can finish. Is that what you're saying to me?
I also imagine that working there is like a sex toy Willy Wonka shop. And
oh, man.
Like,
oh,
the world of pure imagination.
Come on, children.
What's going on in there? I'm just saying that, like, after a while,
I've chosen
it's
six
gotta
of you.
Not be so shocking that there's, like, a chocolate river and some Oompa Loompa.
Ew,
drum.
What's in there?
Now it's getting weird.
Now it started weird.
It started weird?
If you have the coupon code MIDDLEST, you can save 20%. MIDDLEST. You can save 20% there. It's all discreet. And try something new.
I'm willing to bet there's something there that will knock your socks off.
Mm-hmm. Like
yeah, they have the sock knocker offer.
That is it.
Mm-hmm. And the cock socks are knocker offer.
Did you say knock your cocks off? Because that may be a little too extreme.
Get your rocks off.
Get your rocks off by cutting your cock off.
Do they have a sister site called Extreme Restraints? Like, or just possibly...
They do have mild, boring restraints.
Fucking seriously, guys, no joke. These restraints are pretty goddamn extreme.
If you go to boring restraints, you can tie yourself up with, like, wet spaghetti.
Yeah.
Like, tissue paper.
Promises.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then at extreme restraints, a man will come to your house and beat you to death. That site,
so
that website
happy
is actually...
medium at extremerestraints.com.
Extreme restraints, you can find it at abandon all hope ye who enter here .com. .net. They didn't secure the .com rights.
What's your safe word? I don't know. They don't know. They don't have those.
Yeah, they've got danger words. You just say it when you just want the pain to be over.
Dear brothers McElroy, help! A few months ago, I started dating this girl. She's cute and funny, but I'm just not feeling it anymore. So I think it's time to end it. We're not going to do it for you if that's what you're building up to. So let me cut you off there. My birthday's coming up this weekend, and she had been executing this elaborate plot of telling me one thing she likes about me each day until my birthday. Oh man. Fuck. Oof. You really had, you couldn't keep this to yourself. You had to dump this on us and all of our listeners. Thank you. Culminating in some surprise. I don't know if it's better to end it now or wiser to wait. Help me out here. Confusion in Kansas.
You've got a surprise coming your way.
So do you.
You've got a right.
I think that's the answer. Now every day tell her something you don't like about her.
No.
Right.
And build up to a surprise of your own.
I haven't been surprised by anything in probably 14 years. Probably since I got a PlayStation for Christmas and I didn't think I was going to get one. So to have a genuine surprise in your life, you gotta play that out.
Yeah, it's a bad, because what if she will never tell you, and then it'll just haunt you forever? Like, what? So what was it? Oh, I can't say. Mm. It'd be too hard.
But what if the surprise is like, I got your name tattooed on me, or like, I bought you this car.
Mm. Oh, well, that's
no, okay. That one doesn't bother you as much.
Not so much. This is what we call in the biz a bad beat. Mm. And if you end it now, it's just going to be rough.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be, I mean, it's going to be bad, but I don't think it makes you the bad guy.
Yeah, don't push the river here. You got to get out if you got the opportunity.
You got to fold.
You got to fold them. And don't chase.
You gotta know when to hold them.
Don't chase that rainbow, Travis. If you finish that phrase, I don't know. I don't know what I'll do.
Know when to walk. I'm trying to stop.
Yeah, it's real
Please
easy.
Don't.
Can I also just give another suggestion? And it's actually more of an exclamation, or perhaps an interrogative. Why are you breaking up with this girl? She sounds super sweet.
Yeah, she sounds really sweet.
It sounds like a real nice thing that she's doing.
Yeah, I think she's probably pretty great. I would stick with it.
At least so you find out what the surprise is. And if the surprise sucks, end it because of that and let her know that's why.
Sometimes, listen, I'm breaking it down for you. Sometimes if you're with somebody for long enough, even if you don't like them at first, and you spend a lot of time with them, then eventually down the road, you might find that you care about them. Or at least that's what I keep telling my wife.
Oh, so, Justin.
I'm hoping that things are going... She'll...
Bringing it down, we were having some goofs. We were making some laughs, and now they're dead.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, I...
Can we, every time do an episode, can we say one nice thing about each other?
Just something sweet.
Like, Justin, your ceviche is the best ceviche I've had, and Travis, the muscles in your hands are like really big.
Thank you.
Never made ceviche for you. I don't know why you would say things like that.
You have made ceviche for me before. It's really good.
I have not. I have not made ceviche.
You made me ceviche shrimp once.
I did not make you ceviche shrimp once, but thank you.
You made. I ate ceviche. If they were those just raw shrimp I was eating out of your refrigerator.
Did I tell you guys about the text that I got from Dad? I got a text from Dad. This is like 3 weeks ago. It was maybe 8 p.m. on a Saturday night. And I get a text from our shared dad that says, "Try ceviche." Just apropos of nothing. Matt Clint's just like, "Hey, try ceviche." All right, Dad. Like,
I'm sick
now?
Of you putting it off.
I was thinking you putting it off. This has gone far enough. Try ceviche.
Do you think our dad... Do you think he confused, like, his text message app and his notes app? He's like, oh, I gotta send this. I'm gonna forget this. Gotta put it in the cloud. Oh, fuck. That's good.
Oh, man. Just so you guys know, our listening audience won't be able to enjoy this, but just so you guys know, I'm not fucking with you. I'm gonna send you a screen cap that I just took. Here are the things that my dad texted me about. One, premiere dates for shows that we both enjoy. This can be helpful sometimes, so I appreciate that. Two, and I don't know if you guys get these too. I don't know if you guys are on this mailing list, but when somebody dies, like a celebrity dies.
Oh, yeah.
I always get a text message from Dad.
And it's always very, it's nice that he's almost the emotional pace car for these kinds of things. Because he lets you know that, he lets you know that yes, this person did just die, but it's cool to drop a goof in here. For instance, August 20th, 2012, and somewhere Fang is crying. What was that?
Uh-huh. That was a reference to, I think, Carol Channing dying, maybe? Or the Phyllis Diller dying.
Mm.
It was a reference to Carol Channing killing Phyllis Diller.
Explain to me about hashtags on Twitter. Oh, how about this? Oh, this is a classic, Jim. He's moving on up.
Yeah, that was when Mr. Jefferson died.
Priceless.
So good.
Dad doesn't text me. Must be lovely to have that kind of close relationship with your father.
Actually, I got a text about that. Said I'm not texting Trav anymore.
He just keeps texting me and calling me Travis Snow, and I don't know why.
July 3rd, 2012. I hope Aunt B had him a big old pie waiting. Yeah. That's when Andy Griffith died.
Mm-hmm. I got this one August 10th. Big thumbs up on new pizza place.
That's not somebody dying.
No, but it was really random. But we had not spoken about a pizza place prior to that. I don't even know what pizza place he was talking about.
Here's another one, and this is, I do not know where he was when he said this. He was going on vacation, but this is the exact text I got from our dad. We finally got here, and Richard Gere can blow me.
That was from his shitty vacation in Rodan. How about this, Jim? Oh, can we do this every week? This is so great. French Stewart on Community. Brilliant.
That says, here's one, July 17th. We lost Donald Sobel. That is, of course, Donald Sobel, author of Encyclopedia Brown books.
Oh, man.
After his vacation, we are home. Don't get the tuna.
What tuna? What place?
Hey, Dad. You have to help me more than that. I love you very much.
Don't have the tuna and do try ceviche.
Dad,
you're
the best.
Thanks,
Dad. I love you so much. Your text light up my life.
He's not... Man. These texts, us reading them out
they're
loud.
They're the poorest representation.
They are. They make him sound completely incompetent. When he's actually a very, very smart man. I just don't think he understands the medium. Much like I don't think anybody over the age of 43 does.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm 31, so I'm going to have to lower that bar to like 30 because I don't get it either. I don't understand what these kids are talking about. With emojis?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. You know what? I'm going to tell you a truth. Do you guys know what emojis are?
No.
Emojis are like the little icons that are all Japanese phones support them, and more phones are starting to support them here. But they're basically icons that are like emoticons, but they're actually like little pictures that you can use to convey emotion as part of your text.
So they are highbrow emoticons.
Mm-hmm. They are highbrow, highfalutin emoticons.
They're next gen emoticons.
Okay.
They're next gen emoticons. They're called emojis. And true story, for about 3 months after I first heard the term, I thought it was a fun slang for emotions. Like,
I'm feeling some powerful emojis, you guys.
Guys, I feel so many emojis right now. So I'd like to try to repurpose that for that purpose.
Could we maybe get Destiny's Child together to do a remake of their song Emotions? What the fuck is... How is that... Ugh. What about... fuck.
Also, side note, Griffin. There's no way that's what's bringing back Destiny's Child. So just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to have to write a much bigger check.
Well, one of them's dead, right?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Oh, Sasha Fierce.
Sasha Fierce is dead because she has been reborn.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for coming and enjoying our program again. I don't know what continually draws you in.
It's definitely not our pronunciations of simple words.
like continually. I want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter at MBMBAM. Subscribe, rate the show, etc. we have a mailing address now. It's Justin McElroy or MBMBAM. P.O. Box 54, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706. I only received one thing this week. It's from Paul in Austin. There's a note handwritten in what appears to be crayon.
Oh, this is going well.
It says, please accept this humble offering of 20 fine images of the great Nicolas Cage printed on only the finest computer paper money can buy. Sincerely, Paul in Austin. And when you open the envelope, there are, in fact, 20, I would say, stamp-sized pictures of Nicolas Cage that have been printed
excellent.
Out. And, yeah, I mean, it was a really good thing to get in the mail. So that is paying off in dividend, paying dividends.
Can you send?
If you want to mail us something?
Can you forward those to me?
Yeah,
I need them for a completely innocent and healthy purpose.
You can also tweet about the show with the MBMBAM hashtag. Let's see. Who's been tweeting this week, guys?
I tweeted some stuff.
Who tweeted? This is our new segment. Who tweeted?
Ah, fuck. I just went to tweeter.com, which is not what the website's called.
No. One of them is, of course, Tony Award-winning composer Lin-Manuel Miranda. He's a fan.
Oh, no, not a big deal at all.
No big. No big whoop. Just enjoys the program. No big deal.
How long before you think we become his muse and we have Mabim Bam the Musical, finally?
Oh, finally. The people demand it. Rocky Horror, our own personal favorite DJ, is halfway through NBNBA and Mixtape 3, where our thoughts, our feelings, our dreams are mixed with the beats of today. So can't wait for that. Hope he'll bring the drop. Angry Kangaroo, Jeff Hort, Abigail McCauley, Black Stormy 129, The Substitute, Fat Bobalot, Helen Amazing Love, Actuary, I Am Feminista. Everybody, thank you so much for tweeting about our program. It means a lot to us.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song instead of Parcher off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's a good, you know what it is? It reminds me of the classic rock that, like, I used to listen to when I was a kid, when I was coming up. You know what I mean? Like, before, mm-hmm. just before all the violence, yeah. and, like, very sexual, and sometimes there were drugs that, like, in the song, like, it talks about it and the kids do them. Anyway, mm-hmm. Thanks.
And thanks for listening to our podcast. Griffin has one more Yahoo answer for us to think about. And, of course, as always, we'll return to answer it next week.
Yeah.
But we're just going to ponder it in the days to come.
This final Yahoo answer was sent in by Nicole Thompson. Thank you, Nicole. It's by Yahoo Answers user Bunny, who asks, how can I break my wrist fast at home?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy. I'm
Griffin McElroy.
He's been my brother and me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
Keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Hey, keep your heart, three stacks. Keep your heart. Man, these girls are smart. Three stacks, these girls are smart. Play your part.